More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were wrestling?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
Thanks for tuning in to Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, this is Dave Denton. This is part two, and we're going to join the conversation I had with Zane. We're talking about the compensation, the money that is made for big stars like John Cena, the mid-carders, and the jobbers. Let's join that conversation right now on Turnbuckle Trash.
It is, you know, it's a business decision, and it's a business, and you always have somebody who's frustrated with their pay. I think if you talk to most people, they would say, you know, yeah, you know what? I think I'm worth more to the company than that. And that was Ryback's big thing, thinking that the mid-carders and the jobbers should be paid, compensated almost as much as the main guys because they're there all the time. And you know what? It makes sense, but you know, where's Ryback now?
Yeah, you're right. And a lot of these guys, you know, like Ryback said when he quit the WWE, he said that he's like, you know, I've been really smart with my money that I've earned while I was here. You know, I've got some other things in the works. Like, he's big into supplements. He's trying to market his own. I mean, good for him if he's smart with his money that he doesn't have, that he can focus on some things that he wants to do. I guess more power to him.
These guys are in business for themselves, and they've got to do what's best for them. And then the big company's got to make, you know, they're in business too. And I think Juice was the one that came up with this idea with when they start doing the Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar thing here towards SummerSlam, that the smart thing would be to do was to flip Paul Heyman and have him get on Roman Reigns' side and be Roman Reigns' mouthpiece.
That's a good idea.
And, you know, and then have Brock Lesnar become more of a face at that point.
And since Roman Reigns can't even cut a promo, he needs a manager. He needs somebody to talk for him. And he needs to say three things, and that's, I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to hit you in the mouth. And that's, he doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't need to say, this is my yard now. Just don't even say a word. You gotta respect these guys. Like, and as far as Roman Reigns and him as the person, I respect him for what he does in the business and for, you know, going out on the road and for trying to make a name for himself. But in the same sense, you respect him, but you hate him. You know, you hate his character. I mean, he was better in the Shield when he didn't talk, stood back in the background and speared people. And it's the same for a lot of other talent like John Cena. You know, everybody hates his character and they hate him, but you got to respect him. You know, and in the end, guess what you and I are?
Oh, we're marks. Peons, huh?
Yeah, we are not the ones cutting the checks, so we do not make the decisions.
we're the part that helps grow the mushrooms. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. I know what you're
talking
about.
You know, we're the fertilizer, huh?
Yeah. And the WWE sits back and goes,
yeah.
You guys.
Bring me your money, honey. You know, you brought up a few minutes ago about John Cena, you know, and the things he does. I mean, and now he and Nikki, you know, they're going to do this marriage thing. I don't know if they're going to try to do anything in the ring. I hope not. They, you know, they have a YouTube channel. I don't know if you've heard about the, and they celebrated this past week because they now have 500,000 likes, I guess it is. And they celebrated by doing a video of Nikki Bella and John Cena dancing naked. They were without clothing. Yes.
And the old epidermis, huh?
now the video I saw of it on YouTube, there were certain parts that were blurred out. If you get my drift.
What up, everyone? So we are finally ready to have this huge celebration.
sorry it took a few days. It took a while to convince someone to do this.
I still don't think this is a good idea.
Okay, this is a very good idea because why? We got 500,000 subscribers. So we are ready to give all of us to all of you.
Your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation on the scene at the supermarket. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was standing over by the tomatoes, and here he come, running through the pole beans, through the fruits and vegetables, naked as a jaybird. And I hollered over to Ethel. I said, "Don't look, Ethel!" And it's too late. She'd already been incensed.
Here he comes.
Boogie-dee, boogie-dee.
There he goes.
Boogie-dee, boogie-dee.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Just shut up and take your clothes off.
What do you say?
Hey.
Why, Eric, you gonna do it?
No, I'm gonna do this, right? 500,000, love.
Whatever.
Here we are! Woo! 500,000.
I think my tube's on YouTube.
Baloney, fudge, and mustard! My life is being ruined by the internet!
Boys and girls at home, that right there is the reason you've got to practice safe sex.
And by the way, this is Nikki, just in case you guys didn't realize. You can
leave your hat on. I still don't think this is a good idea. You can leave
your hat on. So I usually at night watch the Disney Channel because it lets me have sweet dreams.
He's just as proud as he can be. His anatomy, he gonna give us a pee.
Playboy bunnies, vampires, sandmen, wolverines, animals, a Samoan bulldozer, a big Indian giant.
If there's an audience to be found, you'll be streaking it round, inviting public critique.
Is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, okay. Gosh, moving on, now that we've offended everybody and everything in the world by seeing John Cena and Nikki Bella naked, I did catch SmackDown last week. Did you have a chance to watch anything last week?
Yep, I watched SmackDown and watched Jinder Mahal getting a little push.
Let me hear what the doctor of rock and wrestling. Just talk to me.
Okay. Jinder Mahal, when he was tagging with Rusev, everyone talked about his body had changed so much. I mean, this guy doesn't look like he has 1% body fat. I mean, he is cut. And he always was pretty good on the mic, but once you look at see some of the things that are happening, maybe behind the scenes, you can understand a little bit of a push for Jinder Mahal at this point, because Jinder Mahal looks like he is from Pakistan, country of India, in that region. I understand he's originally from Canada, and the WWE just signed on with Indian promotion, the country of India promotions. Okay. And I think they're trying to make a push in that area, which they haven't had since the great Khali. And
okay,
the country of India is population unreal. I mean, it makes the United States look small. So I think that has something to do with it. Maybe they're trying to capitalize on
some of the media right now.
Yeah, some of the fears that people might have.
Current events.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the WWE's had to walk a pretty fine line with current events in the last few years because it seems like everybody's so easily offended now. You can't bring up hardly anything without offending somebody out there. I don't know, man. SmackDown as a whole, I got a feeling that it seemed to be a little lackluster
You know, I think they're trying out different types of storylines, kind of giving AJ Styles a little bit of a face push against Kevin Owens, and then trying to figure out what they're going to do with Randy Orton when they get past Payback, whether he's going to be feuding with Jinder Mahal. And did you notice at the end of that Jinder Mahal, the two guys that were underneath the ring, the Bollywood Boys is what they called themselves, in NXT. They're kind of, I guess it's going to be kind of like a little faction now. I think they're just trying to set up the next pay-per-view for SmackDown, and they're not exactly sure what they're going to do with it, now that the New Day still can't wrestle. And then also the injury with Rusev, what are they going to do with it? I think they're still juggling in their creative process.
So, it seems to me that after WrestleMania, the WWE just kind of goes into coast mode. They just kind of throw a few things in to make it through the year until 2 months before WrestleMania. Then they start hyping, SummerSlam, the Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. Those are the big, I mean, each one basically leads to another. And so are we just kind of filling in the blanks until we get to SummerSlam?
I don't know if it's filling in the blanks or setting up storylines better. Trying to set up what they're going to do, who they're going to do it with, and see how the public is going to react to something like on Raw with Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman and all the publicity that they got from Braun Strowman tipping over the ambulance and then Braun Strowman in the Big Show with the ring exploding. I think it's instead of filling in the blanks, it's more filling in the picture than the blanks.
Yeah, and so I guess, and with the whole superstar shakeup, and we've got to start new feuds and stuff, it takes time to build that. I guess you can't create a feud overnight, so just need to be patient, right?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. Let me ask you a question now. Now, you know, I'm an old school guy, and I seem to remember
heavy on the old.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I'm pretty heavy too. But I remember, when I was watching Memphis wrestling or maybe the old Georgia Championship wrestling, that they would have a clip from a house show. Let's say when you and I went to Salt Lake City, they had championship matches. You know, it was, Charlotte Flair against, Bayley. Let's say that they had video of that, and for some reason in Salt Lake City, Bayley won and is now the champion. They would show that on the big TV show.
Yeah.
To set up something else, but they rarely do anything. I can't remember the WWE doing that with the title change. They seem to wait for the pay-per-views for title changes anymore.
Yeah. You know, WCW, they said that was one of the things that got them into trouble was they were having these pay-per-view quality matches and changing titles on Monday Nitro, you know, and instead of selling out, you know, a 40,000-50,000 seat arena, they were changing titles in front of a 15,000 seat arena, and they said that was stupid. You guys should have waited a month, sold three times the tickets, and got three times the exposure, you just shot yourselves in the foot now.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with a little shake up every now and again.
Yeah, I could see it happening once, maybe twice a year, you know, not.
And the Intercontinental Championship actually meant something back when it was the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. And you know, you had these mid-card titles. You knew that the guy with the Intercontinental Championship, he was going to be the next big thing. He was going to be taking on the World Heavyweight Champion. The guy with the Intercontinental title is just a guy, but why not give somebody else, like you said, some of these, why can't Sami Zayn have the Intercontinental title? No, he's a former NXT champion, proven himself. The crowd loves him. I mean, why not give him a push?
Once again, I think you and I discussed it on one of the pods. Do they have too much talent in the WWE?
Yeah, and you know,
too
they're
many
trying
main,
to,
main event guys.
They do, and they, you know, and you notice they're trying. I mean, they're trying so hard to push that 205 Live, but I don't know if that's gonna fly. I mean, I'm honestly, I don't know if you have or not, but I haven't watched the 205 Live.
I haven't either. I haven't. I have trouble, you know, keeping up with SmackDown and Raw. That takes up most of my time.
Is a dangerous man.
One dangerous dude. But I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Oh, I'm bad. I'm amazing.
My plan is no plan.
Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is...
is one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
I'm a bad, bad man. I'm a...
Yeah, you're damn right he is.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Speaking of Impact, the ratings aren't much better even after the new ownership. Lots of talent, new talent, but there's also older people too. So where do you go from there if you're Impact?
Well, you gotta get a better TV deal, first of all. TV deal. Ratings. They are the
same. They haven't had a good TV deal in a long time, or have they ever, would you say?
No. And WrestlingEpicenter.com, James there, he put an article about that he had done some research on. And it was on Facebook. And I said, you know, I watch Impact when I can. And I said, I would just like to know how Impact's ratings compare to the other things on Pop. And it's the second highest rated show on Pop TV behind something called Schitt's Creek or Sheets Creek. I don't know how to pronounce
it.
I've never watched it.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah. But it is the second highest rated show on Pop. Thank you, James. Thanks. He did the research on that. Pop's going to want to keep them, but I'm thinking, man, they just need to get back to Spike or get on Fox Sports 1 or something. They need to do something to attract a little bit more of an audience. Evidently, they've got to be making some money.
So we both make an outline, right? And we kind of put our notes together. I know we're not told to do it verbatim, but I'm going to break roll here. Okay. I'm going to put down what you wrote on this outline that I had to look at. Reno Scum, tag team. Think if Headbangers and Bushwhackers had children. What the fetch is your problem?
The Reno Scum.
Stop. No, what in the world is your problem?
They're like a combination of the Bushwhackers and the Headbangers.
Could you maybe have put that and said, instead of Headbangers and Bushwhackers, making little Bushwhacker Headbangers, whatever. I mean, what the fetch, dude? Okay, and moving on to the next part. Oh, my gosh. I can't. We got a new tag team champ, even though they're not really new. They're still old, but they're back as tag team champs.
LAX.
Exciting.
Well, once again, Impact was being impacted by what was going on with the WWE.
Sure.
Remember the Hardys?
Yep.
They were the champs.
Yep.
They move over. And so Impact had to do something. So they have a big tournament. They bring in Reno Scum. They have Abyss and Crazy Steve, and then they bring in LAX with Conan. It's not the same LAX as it was before. Hey, it was fun. So they're now the champs. Rosemary is the champ of the women's division.
Yes.
Knockout. And she,
yes, I love it, by the way. Huge fan of Rosemary.
Rosemary is awesome.
You got me addicted to that one, actually. Yeah. You got me to pay attention to her, and her work is great, both in and outside the ring.
Oh, and she's just this crazy woman.
Oh, yeah.
She's
psycho.
I will quote what I put on there.
Oh, boy.
She's what Sister Abigail should be.
Should be, yep. What else on Impact impresses you? What else you liked? What else do you hate?
You know, remember Josh Matthews?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Josh Matthews with WWE. He was a competitor for a short time. He was on Tough Enough.
Yes.
Became an announcer. Well, he's been their main announcer on Impact. Well, they bring back Jeremy Borash, and they have the Pope, they have Jeremy Borash, and they have Josh Matthews. Well, Matthews now becomes the heel announcer, and they run a program for weeks where Matthews is just livid that Borash is back. And they decide to have a situation where each man picks four wrestlers as a team and coaches their team to victory. Borash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alberto El Patron, Magnus, and they said he was the global wrestling champion. Well, that didn't mean anything to me because Jarrett, global wrestling, nothing. The Blueprint, Matt Morgan comes back looking great. And then Chris Adonis. Remember Chris Masters?
From, absolutely.
I got to meet him several years ago.
Yes.
Anyway, that was one team. And then it was Bobby Lashley, Bram, Eli Drake, or should I say Eli Drake.
Dummy.
Yeah.
They were for Team Josh. And Josh Matthews says that if his team lost, he would leave the broadcast booth. Guess what?
They lose.
So he's left the broadcast booth.
I'm going to shift this this gear sideways really quickly. I want to get to this really quickly. The reports about JBL being a bully.
Oh, wow.
Outside of the ring.
Scary stuff.
What a... I mean, what's your opinion on... I mean, I know we got to be careful how we share our opinion about this. Luckily, we're not, you know, connected with the WWE, so we're allowed to share as we wish, but that's...
He has a reputation.
But then there's other people who have commented and spoken out and said he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
And then I've also heard it say, you know, what you hear on the air, he's being the heel announcer.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I know the situation that occurred with the Blue Meanie when he beat the crap out of the Blue Meanie.
Yeah.
But I do know this. Sometimes we, in the politically correct environment that we all have to live in, sometimes it goes overboard.
Yeah.
And he might have gone overboard once or twice, but it is the PC police, and I am an equal opportunity offender. I want people to lighten up. He's a performer. Now, if he's doing some stuff backstage that he shouldn't do, let the HR department deal with that. But we as a society, and I'm sounding like Rush Limbaugh here behind my golden EIB microphone, need to lighten up. Take a joke. We all have little quirks. I mean, I'm a big old fat white guy, you know, make fun of me all you want. I don't care, but don't physically harass me. Don't try to stop me from doing something just because my look, my religion, or my orientation. That's not right. But to just joke and do your job like JBL might be doing, I'm fine with that.
Well, the WWE having a very, very, very strict no-bully policy. In fact, they actually promote that no-bullying within elementary schools itself, around the country. They're very, very anti-bullying. If there was a serious case, I'm pretty sure they would eliminate it or them immediately. So in saying that, and I'm going to be careful, but in saying that, I think we need to just calm down and let, you know, let the report, or at least let
We don't know what happened with the Mario and that. We just don't know.
Yeah. Mario's had his thoughts on it, but we still don't have, like you said, we're not backstage. We don't.
Yeah. And there's no way for anyone who is not there on the scene to know. They can get secondhand information.
Yeah.
They can get, somebody told me, or I read on the internet. No. That isn't good enough for me. What is good enough for me is if someone thinks that they have been wronged, there are steps they can take that can take care of it.
Let's move on to ROH, which is getting really good. In fact, they just had the recent 15-year anniversary in Las Vegas, which, by the way, is going to be home to the Las Vegas Raiders here in 2 years, which should be exciting. It's going to be a really fun event center over there. In fact, I think WrestleMania ends up in Las Vegas in 4 or 5 years. I mean, the way they're building that arena, it's an outdoor, it's a warm place. I think Las Vegas gets their shot in showcasing WrestleMania for the first time ever in WrestleMania history.
Yeah, we might have to go then.
Oh, my gosh.
We might have to go.
That might be fun. So this 15-year anniversary, a lot of good stuff going on. And what stood out to you, Dave?
I like the fact that Christopher Daniels is now the champion. And then they did, you know how we always say that there's twists and turns and swerves in professional wrestling.
Yes.
Well, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels got one over on the Bullet Club. Now, when you say the Bullet Club, you know they've been getting things over on people for years.
Yep.
So this time, Frankie Kazarian acts like he is a member of the Bullet Club, and his best friend is Christopher Daniels in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So the storyline goes, Frankie joins the Bullet Club and swerves Christopher Daniels, but at the 15th anniversary show, Kazarian shows up in the ring. Adam Cole, who's the champ, baby. Adam Cole, baby, gets swerved by Frankie Kazarian, and now Christopher Daniels is the champ. Pretty cool stuff.
How about the six-man tag team match?
Did you watch the video?
Yummy. And by the way, that moonsault?
When he
hit his shin on the rail?
TK O'Ryan hit his shins on the rail, broke his leg. He was with the Kingdom, and they were the champs.
So awkwardly painful.
And that was that Bully Ray is now a member of ROH. And he teams up with the Briscoe brothers, and now they are the six-man champ.
How about Kane? The big red machine. Glenn Jacobs, outside of the ring, outside mm-hmm. of the WWE work, is running political style.
In Tennessee, the mayor of Knox County, he has put his hat into the ring.
What do you think?
He's a brilliant
intelligent.
Man. He is a very
he's
brilliant man.
He's so intelligent.
He's ultra-conservative.
Yes.
And that should play out well in that part of Tennessee.
In fact, I actually, and this is no offense to him, but I laughed when I was listening to him talk because I watched him on Fox News and they had a little interview with him. And he was so polite, so professional, so down to earth, and so intelligent. They were asking him some pretty hard-headed questions, and he just took it in stride.
Well, you know, he's a successful businessman. He and his wife run a business together. He knows business. He knows how to perform. He knows how to talk to a crowd. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how he does it. Now, when you talked about Fox Sports or Fox,
yeah,
you know who else has a spot on Fox? Tyrus.
No way.
From TNA, he does a weekly show where he gives his opinion. And once again, he's ultra conservative. Big old Tyrus. He's pretty conservative.
He's not the first one to do it though. And I'm sure this is all like no duh. Yeah. But J.C. Ventura, also in 1998, became governor of Minnesota, and he was very popular.
Yes,
very popular, loved, very, yeah. very loved. And it made us think up, you know, who are other guys who have done it? And Jerry Lawler, sure. Bo Backlund, sure.
Yeah.
Ran political campaigns. Well, one that stunned me the most, though, was Rhino.
Rhino, just
You
recently.
Brought this up. I didn't know this. Rhino. I would never take it serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I would never take it serious.
He did fairly well. He didn't win. Jerry Lawler, almost as a lark, ran for the mayor of Memphis, and he came in third.
On his feet, the stray cat, is he ready? Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please!
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here with it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I have officially found my favorite of all favorites. And it is on Netflix right now. And I have watched the heck out of it. And I love Lucha Underground.
Isn't it great?
Oh my gosh. Dude, it is so amazing watching it on Netflix because you can watch the whole entire thing all the way through and the little storylines and the little things that they do is so cool to see because you don't have to wait till next week to watch it or you don't have to find it on YouTube or you don't have to, you know, it's like you can sit down and watch. Like the other night I sat down and I watched 3 episodes of Lucha Underground back to back to back. I was like, this is sweet.
Told ya. I've been singing the praises of Lucha Underground since season
well,
one,
and
right?
I I'm telling you, I've watched it since the beginning too, but I just caught an episode here, an episode there, but being able to sit down and watch it all the way through like that is great, dude. I cannot believe the quality of matches in Lucha Underground is far superior to almost anything you see nowadays. I mean,
and
guys like
you
like
know
Son
that
of
there's,
Havoc
there's
and
been
Ricochet
a,
and oh my gosh.
Oh man, when you're talking Puma, Prince Puma, Marty the Moth, the Mil Muentes, and then Matt Stryker and Vampiro do a great job on the play by the call. I mean, Sexy Star is fun to watch, and the female. Oh, I wish that Lucha Underground would, just like with Impact, get a better TV deal.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on the El Rey Network. Now they're on Netflix, the first 2 seasons. they took a little bit of a break, a mid-season break. They're getting ready to come back with the second part of their season on El Rey Network, and I can't wait. Lucha Underground.
Have you heard or seen any status updates on the latest season or
well,
with that?
Their ratings are, you know, they're pretty solid, as far as, you know, for the El Rey Network. Season four, I think, is supposed to start, with their filming the season four this summer, but there's also been talk about Lucha Underground having some financial difficulties,
really?
That, their agreement with AAA, might be out because Impact just announced a big agreement with the people from the AAA promotion. And so I think it might be a little bit up in the air, with what's going on with Lucha Underground. And I think that would be just an absolute shame for real wrestling fans who have not had a chance to really watch that.
Well, you know, and in my mind, I cannot see a reason, and I know that there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And that's what an update for later is. We're going to get the MK Bandit back on here and talk about behind the scenes. And when you talk about behind the scenes of what it takes to put on a show, but in my mind, and I know, like I said, I don't know everything that it takes because I don't have that kind of knowledge of the industry. But in my mind, I would see no reason why something like Lucha Underground couldn't be selling out a place with double or triple the capacity of the temple. But
yeah.
Maybe they want to keep it kind of just as this dingy, dark thing, and they don't want to grow. Maybe they just want to stay as a little plateau and make a little money and just kind of not really try to compete with the big boys.
Well, I talked to Martin Casals about that once. I was asking him if Lucha was going to actually tour. And I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I don't think that they have officially toured, but a lot of the stars will do the independent route, and they'll say from Lucha Underground, like Pentagon Dark. Who, by the way, Pentagon Dark is reportedly getting ready to sign with the WWE and go into NXT.
Really?
He's a great performer. You will. The stuff you're watching right now is still Pentagon, but when he becomes Pentagon Dark,
Junior.
Oh my word! Oh yeah.
Well, you know, Pentagon Junior or Pentagon, he is the. Oh gosh, it just slipped my mind. The MK Bandit, it's one of the promotions that he works with from the West Coast. I think it's, I just can't remember the name, but Pentagon is their champion right now.
Oh wow.
So,
he's a great performer.
MK Bandit
works great performer.
That's cool.
Yeah. Speaking of the Netflix, you were just talking about Netflix. There's a movie on there. Called Sandy Wexler. It's an Adam Sandler movie that Adam Sandler does specifically for Netflix.
Yeah.
Have you seen that on there yet?
I've seen it on there, but I've been wanting to watch it, but I haven't seen it because I've heard that a friend of the show is in there.
Yeah, Marty the Moth is in there. He has a part in that. It has Terry Crews in there as a wrestler. Jennifer Hudson's in there, Arsenio Hall. Penn and Teller, Kevin James, and, you know, Adam Sandler's doing a lot of projects. Most of his projects now go directly to Netflix, and this one actually has some pretty decent reviews. So if you watch
cool.
it, watch for Marty the Moth in there.
I did watch, it's a little bit hard, you know, the Fight TV app on my, I just have it on my phone, and I did watch a little bit of ROH the other day, and it wasn't bad. The Fight TV app runs a little bit behind on their shows, I think.
Yeah.
So.
The best way, if you can't watch it on Sinclair Broadcasting, I think is to go directly to the ROH website. and they have the TV show that's usually a week behind what's running on Sinclair.
Oh, okay.
And did you see the video that I posted about the six-man tag title when TK O'Brien
not.
With the Kingdom?
No, you told me about it. You texted me about it, but I didn't watch it.
Wow, it was at one of their Las Vegas events when they were doing their 15th anniversary. The Kingdom, they were the six-man tag titles, and TK O'Brien was getting ready to do a move where he jumped over the top rope. And,
oh, yes! And he landed in the railing?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That, and, you know, yeah, these guys are so... Yeah, yeah, wrestling is so fake. This guy hit that thing, and he broke his leg really, really bad.
Oh, yes. Now, see, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the names, but, dude, I watched that and cringed. That reminded me of when that was when Sid Vicious had that boot break when he jumped off the second rope.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I mean, a similar type of break. It was right at that the. Top edge of his boot, and you could, oh, the agony he was in laying out there on the mat. Just
so they had to, you know, do something with that six man title right away, and they put it onto the Briscoes with Bubba Ray, or Bully Ray, as he calls himself there now. So he's now an ROH. Okay.
I know that there is a local promotion in Salt Lake that is doing a show this weekend.
WAR, War. These were the guys that I saw at Comic-Con a couple of years ago. A couple of the wrestlers that are now with UCW Zero were with War at that time when I saw them. Then there's also Epic Pro Wrestling, which I think works closely with some of the guys from War. But I kind of got the feeling that the people from WAR and UCW Zero, there's a little bit of animosity between the two of them.
Yeah,
I don't know that for a fact, but I kind of got that feeling.
I'm going to try to go to that.
Well, I'd be interested in getting your report if you go, you know.
And just to
you're
try,
taking your boy
like
with you, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to take my boy with me and. Like you said, just want to give the indies a shot. If it sucks, I'll let you know. I love talking to guys in the business. You know, especially a guy like, you know, MK, the plethora of knowledge that he has for the business and also the respect he has for the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of the local performers that we've met and remember those guys from UCW? You know, they took time out of their night to talk to us, and every single one of those guys said, it's the fans. We do this for the fans. Every mm-hmm. single one of them said that. He said, if it wasn't for the... Remember who it was? He says, if it wasn't for the fans, we'd just be a bunch of guys out here rolling around in tights. He's... Right, you know, the fans are the ones that feed this, and you know, I don't know, it's just you gotta your hat goes off to anybody in the business, whether you're working
yeah.
backstage or whether you're out there in the ring, you know, it can't be easy to put on a show, even if you've only got 200 people in your arena, you know, it's not easy. I've told you my scenario, you know, I'm a WCW guy, you know, right when WCW, you know, the NWO, when we got Prime Star Satellite Dish, you know, that
mm-hmm.
was like the shiz, you know, and you know, we could finally get, you know, TNT and TBS and, you know, I used to get up on Saturday mornings and watch the stuff on WCW on Saturdays and then I got out of the business for a while because I got kind of sour after WCW was gone because I was, like, almost distraught. And, but, you know, the last few years, I would say the last 7 years, getting back into the business, you know, is so much fun, and I wonder why I even allowed myself to leave for a while.
Oh, by the way, Chris Adonis has signed now. He's with Impact Wrestling. He was with GFW. He's going to be on there now. Matt Morgan's back with Impact, and they brought in some big names. They've got in some young people, you know, younger acts too. So hats off to Impact. I'm really going to be interested. And they've also announced they're going to be touring this summer, but no tour dates have been announced as of yet.
If you go back to the first, I'm sure we've got them somewhere. The first podcasts we were doing back with a part of him and a few of those, I was watching Impact more than I was WWE.
Yeah.
And then I kind of quit watching Impact when during the Hogan times and things like that. So.
Well, my friend, I think we've yacked our ears off here. So.
Yes, we have. This is the end. My only friend, the end. Well, thanks, Dave. Well, it's always a business doing pleasure. Pleasure doing. Never mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Turnbuckle Trash. We want to give a shout out to Zane Peterson, David Denton, and also want to give a shout out to our fans, especially guys like Chris Evans, who's phenomenal. I love Chris Evans. I would love to sit one-on-one with Chris Evans and just pick his brain. I mean, he is so good, and he's so passionate about WWE, and I love what he brings to the table. So thank you to him. Kelly Denton, the rest of our fans out there, thank you so much for listening to us.
Chunky Larry, give a shout-out to Chunky Larry.
Still real to us, WWE, yeah. On Twitter. You can find them. They do an incredible job of bringing you news, real-time news of WWE going on. You can find them at Still Real to Us on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Turnbuckle Trash.
One other person that makes a lot of comments on our Facebook page, Mike Calvin.
Oh, yes. Mike.
Okay, so.
Can we have a time where we get like Mike Calvin and Chris Evans just on with us?
I would love it.
And we just pick their brains.
I would love it.
We'll step out of the way. We'll just ask some questions and we'll let them answer.
Yeah.
And the spotlight's on them.
Let us work through some of the technical issues. And
again, thank you so much for tuning into us. You can find us on Twitter at Turnbuckle Trash. You can find us on Facebook as well on Turnbuckle Trash. You can actually email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Thank you. That's wpfpod@gmail.com.
Correct.
Dave, don't give me that look. You've been really creeping me out today.
I'm feeling the glow, baby. Feeling the glow.
And with that, we're going to get out of here. So long, fans.
This is turnbuckletrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!